T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Amber Stott, CEO and Chief Food Genius for the Food Literacy Center. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year.
Hey, it's never too late to say Happy New Year, right?
Exactly.
The mission of the Food Literacy Center is to inspire kids to eat their vegetables. Boy, I could have used you guys when I was growing up. Foodliteracycenter.org is the website. We've got some exciting news to share, Amber. But first, let's get a little background. What is food literacy and why is it so important?
Yeah, food literacy is understanding the impact of your food choices on your health, the environment, and our economy. And our nonprofit does this type of education by going to low-income schools and working hands-on with elementary kids, teaching them to cook and to fall in love with vegetables to protect their own health. And during COVID, because we can't be with our kids, we're sending them home with recipe kits so that they can cook a healthy meal for their entire family at home.
And you mentioned low income, and something I heard about, I think you were the one that put it on my radar a few years back, food desert.
Yes. This is a term that describes certain neighborhoods and zip codes throughout America where there is not a lot of access to fresh and healthy food. And so a lot of times you find a heavy abundance of fast food choices, or the only grocery stores are more like the liquor store that has some boxed foods on a few shelves.
And some week-old fruit and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. And so we are working with schools that are in a lot of these food deserts. And, you know, at school, the kids do have access to fresh salad bars and healthy food. And so we want to make sure that they like that food and want to eat it. And then also that we can help them to translate these habits back home.
Who are the kids that Food Literacy Center serves?
Yeah, we're serving kids who are at very high risk for diet-related diseases like childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes. These are diseases that are chronic and stay with you for life once you get them. They're also very preventable if you eat your vegetables. So that's why we want kids falling in love with healthy food, and that's why we're really trying to target these kids in particular, because if we can get to them before they've built any bad habits, we can essentially help them build really good, healthy, positive habits that will stick with them for life and protect their health. So these are the kids that we're working with. And you know, oddly enough, in America, we talked about this food desert term. Zip codes do determine our health. And so if we work in these specific zip codes where we know there's a high prevalence of diet-related disease, we hope that we can stop it in this next generation of kids that are growing up.
What kind of changes have you had to make during the pandemic?
Well, obviously schools are closed, so we can't be with our kids cooking anymore. So we pack up recipe kit boxes, and we go from school to school during school lunch distribution. So families can pull up in their car, they can pick up their hot meal from the school lunch, and then they can also pick up recipe kits from Food Literacy Center, and they have all the fresh whole ingredients for kids to cook. And every month it's a different recipe. So sometimes we do our rainbow soup, sometimes we do our broccoli potato taco, and they're always recipes that the kids used to cook with us in class. So they are familiar with those recipes, and we know that they're recipes that the kids love. And so it's been really nice hearing the family say, hey, when is that soup coming back? Or when will we get those tacos again? So it's really nice to see. And then the kids send us in little photos and we can see that they are really cooking and enjoying it.
I love it. Tell me more about rainbow soup.
Oh, yeah, this is a great one. It's kind of like, you know, the old stone soup story where you kind of throw anything into a pot. It's a pretty versatile recipe. There's spice mix that has a kick of paprika and a little ginger. So it's got this very rich broth that we create. And then we add a grain like rice or quinoa and kind of any vegetable that we can get. So we try to put a green vegetable, a leafy thing, like, you know, maybe beet greens, or even spinach with potato, sometimes broccoli, carrots, onion, garlic. So it's really a hearty soup, very filling and so warm on these cold winter days.
You're making me hungry for soup right now. You make it sound so good, Amber.
Well, it is good. Those kids really know how to cook.
Thanks to you. Absolutely. We got things that are a little crazy these days, but I know you guys are doing everything to make it work, Amber. What do the kids learn in class these days?
Yeah, we are providing virtual classroom education right now as well. The first 3 days that schools were closed, we started creating online curriculum and getting that out to teachers and principals. And then we also invite the kids at several of our schools to a certain virtual classroom. And so what we do is we coordinate with the principals and we let the kids know in advance when they can log in and when they can pick up a recipe kit. So they'll go to their school, they'll grab a recipe kit, and then they'll hop on the video call at home and they cook hands-on right alongside our instructors right from their home. So that's a lot of fun. And we do that about once a month.
All right, it's time to raise kale. You guys have a new podcast that'll be starting soon. Tell me all about it, Amber.
Yeah, we're so excited about this podcast because, you know, we really know that in order for us to be able to reach more kids, we need people to understand how broken our food system is and how widely spread these issues are because they, like I mentioned earlier in the show, they tackle issues of health. They tackle issues about the health of our planet. They also tackle issues of food justice and social justice. I'm talking to experts from around the country about a wide variety of topics, everything from farm to school with Alice Waters to talking to a chef farmer in Illinois who's a guy that not only runs a restaurant but also runs a farm where he supplies all of the ingredients for that restaurant. So you can go to the restaurant and not only order your dinner, but also take home a dozen eggs. These are the kinds of stories that we're sharing, and we want listeners to become kale raisers and learn how they can get involved and make changes in their own small food system, in their own community.
Raising Kale. All right. We'll look forward to that podcast and keep an eye on foodliteracycenter.org for details on that. What kind of advantage do we have living right in the farm-to-fork capital, Amber?
Oh, my goodness. We live in paradise. And, you know, this is something that's become very important during COVID for us to understand. And that is when we can grow our own food locally and keep that food here for consumption, we can be a more resilient community. So when COVID came and grocery shelves were essentially bare because people were stocking up on items,
right,
you could still go to the farmer's market and there was an abundance of great, beautiful food. You know, you would go to the grocery store and there would be no eggs. You'd go to the farmer's market and there would be tons of eggs. And so you could buy them by the flat, you know. So this is the kind of thing that's really important in communities throughout America. And we just happen to have access to an abundance because we're living in one of the richest agricultural regions in the entire nation. And so when you sort of juxtapose living with that abundance and then also these high rates of food and nutrition insecurity that we see in the kids and the families that we are serving at Food Literacy Center, it's a matter of helping to link resources to those who need them and make sure that our food system is being designed more equitably so that all of us can access those beautiful foods, those healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables.
Thank goodness for farmers markets.
Absolutely. And small farmers, for sure. They've been so great and supporting Food Literacy Center through this. Our boxes, our recipe kits that we send home to the kids are chock full of local produce from our local small farmers, and we're very grateful for that.
Is there anybody you'd like to mention by name? Give them a little shout out and say thanks.
Yeah, Route 64 in South Sacramento. They've been fantastic.
How do you go about making learning about health and nutrition so fun, Amber?
Well, I personally like to have fun, so that makes it easy. And that's just part of our philosophy at Food Literacy Center, that we really believe education needs to be fun. You know, after all, we're competing with these junk food marketing companies, and
right.
they have big dollars to make things like sugary cereals have cartoon characters. So we got to compete with that.
Right.
And we think that if we do that, kids will think we're cool. And that's exactly what has happened. They end up singing us little songs and helping us come up with little rhymes. And they really do get excited for the cool food literacy kids to come to their school.
And like I told you in an email before we started, I wanted to be at my broccoli best today.
Exactly. Well, thanks a lot for that.
Well, what kind of changes do you see in the kids over the course of a school year?
Oh, it's so wonderful. I actually say all the time that getting kids to eat their vegetables is actually the easiest part of my job.
Mm.
Kids love fruits and vegetables. And I think, again, it's all about how we approach them and how we invite kids to explore them. So, yeah, we have so many amazing stories of kids who, my favorite one is Gage. I remember sitting in food literacy class one day teaching, and there was a little girl who just every single vegetable we had, we were making a salad, everything. She didn't want it. She was shaking her head.
I'm not eating that. You know. I'm not eating that.
Exactly. And all of a sudden I look over at Gage and I say, well, gosh, that's too bad, because Gage right here, he loves his vegetables. And as if on cue, he reached his hand into this giant bowl of baby kale that was on the table, and he stuffed an entire fistful of baby kale into his mouth. And he
wow.
just started chewing with a grin ear to ear. And the little girl picked up like one piece of baby kale and kind of, you know, trepidatiously started chewing, and little by little I noticed she cleared her whole plate, and so it was really sweet.
What a great story. What's your favorite recipe to make with the kids?
Oh man, it depends on what day it is.
You got me hooked on that really, rainbow soup right now.
Exactly. Another fun favorite one that is in season right now, we have this great recipe that is made with romaine lettuce. We create a green colored dip, like a very bright, beautiful green that has cilantro and garlic and jalapeno and green onion. So cilantro and green onion are very rampant in Sacramento right now. And it's the most delicious dip. We put it on tacos. We dip our carrot slices in it. We put it on everything. So we're really addicted to that at this time of year. It's a Peruvian green dip, and we have all those recipes on our website at foodliteracycenter.org.
My mouth is watering already, which is normal whenever I talk with you, Amber. You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Amber Stott. She's the chief food genius and kale raiser for the Food Literacy Center. The new podcast, Raising Kale, is going to start in March. Foodliteracycenter.org will keep you up to date on the launch. Who are the food literati, and what do they do?
Yeah, our food literati are people like you and me who really care about our food system, but also want to roll up their sleeves to change it. And so that's what we call the members who support Food Literacy Center. Basically, community members like you and me who have taken the time to not only learn about, but then also maybe they make a donation and become a member at Food Literacy Center.
What was last year's Veggie of the Year?
Veggie of the Year in September was, for the first time, it was on the roster, and the first time it won, and I was very proud because it's on our logo. It was broccoli.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And not only do you do the Veggie of the Year, but you also work with local chefs, too. Tell me a little bit about that, Amber.
Yeah, chefs have been an amazing force to help Food Literacy Center over the years, and in these times, of course, that goes both ways, right? They've been helping us so much, and I sure hope that the community continues to support those same restaurants who've been good to us over the years. Those chefs have done everything from come into our classroom and create fun veggie bites for our kids to taste to sponsoring events for us. They really understand because they work with food, and they see people push things around on their plate as adult diners, and they think, gosh, if people were more food adventurous, what could I cook with in my kitchen? So they really do understand the need for this type of education and have been very supportive.
What do I need to do to get them to eat that?
Exactly.
Well, Amber, I'm betting you've got a few of them, but let's talk about some of your success stories at the Food Literacy Center.
Yeah. When we first started these recipe kit boxes, we contact the principal before we're going to be at their school so that they can let all the families know to show up and collect the recipe kits. And it was a hot July day. It was our first day at one of our schools, Woodbine Elementary. And it was so hot in July. And this one little boy came with his entire family. They rode bikes over a mile just to come and pick up their veggie recipe kit box. And
wow.
So that was one of the sweetest things that we have seen.
Yeah,
that was really nice. So yeah, these are successes not just for the kids, but for the families. I mean, we hear grandmas and moms coming back to the distribution and telling us, you know, is there any way you can have more vegetables in these kits? And so those are the things that really make us feel good to know that we've helped these kids develop these habits. And now eating vegetables is something they love and enjoy, and it's part of their routine, and they miss them and they want them during these times when school is out. So that makes us feel really good.
Yeah, it may have been a hot July day, but you had the whole family getting on a bicycle and heading on over to meet with you guys.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, it makes us proud.
Well, it is time to raise kale. Let's talk a little bit more about the new podcast. We talked about our buddy Kim, who you're working with to edit that thing. How's that going?
It has been such a fun journey because we're, you know, talking with people from San Diego to New York. We're talking to folks who, for example, I'm talking to a guy who created a seed line. So a line of seeds that you can plant in your garden because they realized that many seeds have been bred for ease of shipment, but not for flavor.
Mm.
And so they're redesigning vegetables that are only going to taste delicious. They don't care if they're too soft or if they're, you know, can't be shipped across country. They want you to go to your local farmer, buy it, and eat it right away. So that's really fun to hear about the science of doing that and how they're making this open source so that others can get access to them. Talking to a woman in San Diego who started a nonprofit where they're training people who would be considered unemployable, people who were maybe incarcerated once or formerly homeless, and they're teaching them culinary skills, and then they're using the food that they train with to feed the hungry. So it's this beautiful story of economic development and also addressing hunger, all wrapped up into one really great nonprofit. So these are the kinds of people we're talking with across the country, and each of them sort of gives a tip and a trick for how you can get involved in your own community and become your own kale raiser.
Any sponsors you'd like to mention to say thanks to?
Absolutely. Raley's has been amazing to us throughout this pandemic. Dignity Health, No Kid Hungry, Stack City Nutrition Services Department has been an amazing partner in helping us to get the food. Obviously, Route 64, the farm that I mentioned before. So many great folks.
Route 64?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
How about volunteers? Can you use some volunteers?
We can. They're a bit limited because of social distancing. So in before times, we were taking, you know, dozens of volunteers at once. Now, because of social distancing, we use about two at a time, but we certainly still do have those opportunities, and there's a volunteer application on our website.
Foodliteracycenter.org.
Yes.
How can our listeners help you at the Food Literacy Center, Amber?
During this crisis, the best and easiest way is to please donate. All the funds that are raised are going straight into those recipe kits. And then over the holidays, we actually, as kids have been sending in photos and sharing stories about what they're doing with their recipe kits, we noticed that they're cooking with plastic picnic utensils, the kind that you pick up at the grocery store.
Right.
And so over the holidays, we did a drive to collect cooking kit materials. So we have these plastic knives, plastic cutting boards, measuring spoons, measuring cups, things that we were realizing our families didn't have at home. And so we did a distribution of those over the holidays, and we're going to be doing that again in the spring to make sure that as they get this healthy food at home, they also have the right tools to cook it with.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, so we'd love to help you with that. We'll do a drive to get some cooking utensils, something you and I take for granted. But hey, if somebody doesn't have that stuff at home, they really need it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we even had one family who told us through a social worker at a school that they didn't want any more canned food. And I said, can you find out if that's because they don't have a can opener? And sure enough, it wasn't the canned food that they didn't want. It's that they didn't want to say they didn't have a can opener. So
wow.
These are things that we're supplying. Yeah.
Wow. It's the little things like that. I know. You kind of read between the lines and find out what the real problem is.
Absolutely.
We're running out of time, but let's sum up the Food Literacy Center. Why is food literacy so important? And who are the kids that you serve, Amber?
Yeah, food literacy is critical, especially in Sacramento, where we have 1 in 3 kids who have type 2 diabetes. We have a 40% childhood obesity rate. And again, all of this is preventable if kids learn how to eat their vegetables and fall in love with them. That's the best way to protect our health. That's exactly what we're trying to do, whether it's sending kids home with recipe kits in a pandemic or in more ideal times, walking into a school and cooking hands-on with those same kids. So every little bit helps, and we really do see these kids fall in love with things like beets and cactus. So it really matters, especially during this pandemic. It's these little bright spots of joy that we see light up our kids' faces as they're waving to us from the back seat of their parents' cars and riding their bicycles out on a hot July day. This does really put a little spark in an otherwise difficult time.
I love it. Raising Kale, the podcast, is going to start in March. And before we go, tell me a little bit more about the seeds that they're trying to make that are going to make everything taste so good. Doesn't matter if it's mushy or not, it's just still going to taste good. I can't wait for the podcast. I want to hear more right now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's gonna be a delicious journey. So I do hope that folks join us and listen into Raising Kale.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Amber Stott, the Chief Food Genius and Kale Raiser at the Food Literacy Center. The new podcast is called Raising Kale. It's a call to action with food. Educational without being snooty. Solution-oriented, offering ways listeners can help and becoming part of the story and part of the solution. Foodliteracycenter.org. Thank you so much for your time, Amber.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, send an email to sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.